You are now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation, and I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everyone feeling out there today? Yep, your week been going pretty good. Yeah, on my end, you know, everything's going. It's, you know, I have a heavy heart this week because my uncle passed away. And as a result, I want to dedicate this episode of the Commissioner's Conversation to my uncle Robert Glass, affectionately known as Rip. And just to kind of give you a little peek in behind the curtain that is Commissioner Gordon, my Uncle Rip was one of the guys who's responsible for me being a diehard Atlanta fan, like everything Atlanta. And there was no wavering in my fandom. And the reason why that is because when all the sports franchises started coming to Atlanta, whether it was the Falcons, whether it was the Braves, and the Hawks started coming to Atlanta in the 60s, you know, Rip and a couple of my uncles and older cousins, they were, you know, coming of age as young men, and they were involved in sports, and they were born and bred right here in Atlanta, in the Pittsburgh community of Atlanta. And so when the Braves and the Hawks and the Falcons all rode into town, that was their team. It's our team. It's the, you ride for the crib. And so we have a team now. And so it filled them up with so much pride that you didn't think of rooting for the Cowboys, or you didn't think of rooting for the Lakers. You didn't think of rooting for, you know, the Yankees. You didn't think of rooting for those teams because you had a team in the Hawks. You have a team in the Falcons. You have a team in the Braves, and that's who you ride for. You ride for the crib. You don't wear another name across your chest. And growing up, that was instilled in me through uncles like Rip, other uncles and cousins. And one of my fondest memories is, like, growing up, man, you know, the Braves haven't always been the best. So when the 90s came and the Braves went on that crazy run, and we went from worst to first in 91, and then you hit all those World Series runs, and you win the World Series in 95, and you know, you carried it all throughout, and you basically have the Braves becoming the team of the 90s. Some of my fondest memories are being in, like, my sister's house with my uncle, and the Braves are doing it. You know, we've suffered for so long, and the Braves are doing it, and we're in there, and we got the rally caps going. Everyone's doing the tomahawk chop and everything, and it was just a family bonding experience. So him playing sports, him knowing a lot of the history of the sports, being in the sports franchises in Atlanta, he instilled a lot in me and a lot of pride in me for being a fan, for being a sports fan, for being an Atlanta fan. And you gotta excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional. But he instilled that pride in me. So I carry that to this day, you know. And that became the crux of our relationship. We always bonded over sports, and we talked sports, and that's how we related it over to kids and parenting. He's also a father. He's also a grandfather. And so, like I said, I dedicate this to him, and he will be missed. I dedicate this to Rip. He will be missed. And our family is, you know, currently going through the preparations of understanding that he'll be no longer with us. But I also openly would like to invite, you know, his spirit to, you know, come visit and chat and talk with me whenever he feels like it. There's an open invitation. Some of you will catch that, some of you won't. But I dedicate this show to you, Robert Glass. Play ball. Can't do it like you will. All right. So, there's a lot happening. I wanted to talk about so much stuff this week. I wanted to talk a little women's basketball. There's a little thing going on at Detroit Mercy I wanted to talk about. But there's another little thing going on at in baseball where they're basically patting down and checking the pitchers. And a pitcher has gotten hurt, but and is trying to blame the new rules and these pat downs and these pitcher checks for him being injured and hurting him, his, I think his wrist. But last night happened, and by last night I mean Tuesday night, and that's when Kevin Durant went crazy and put up 49 points. I don't have all the stats in front of me, but it was a triple-double. But he went crazy and showed Giannis Antetokounmpo what a star is supposed to play like. And then I get up this morning being Wednesday, and apparently I didn't get the memo that it's cut day for coaches. Because Scott Brooks is out the door. Stan Van Gundy is out the door. And we now have multiple openings in the NBA that need to be addressed. And so we're going to address those openings. We're going to talk about coaching. We're going to talk about these injuries. And then I'll hit some more NBA news and nuggets as you know, things take shape. But I said I wasn't going to talk about I pushed the baseball and the women's sport basketball to the side because, one, you guys have shown me and told me in so many words that y'all don't really give a damn about baseball until, like, the playoffs. Because I've tried to talk some baseball a couple times here and on social media, and it's been crickets. And it's basically been like, yeah, call me when it gets real, because y'all don't believe y'all don't believe in these 162 games. Y'all waiting for, you know, the pennant race. When the pennant race and the playoffs start going for real, that's when everybody starts turning and watching baseball. So I'll spare you, and I'll just keep my eye on what's going on, and if something develops, then I'll hit you with it. How about that? Deal. All right, and like I said, in the NBA, what we'll do is we'll just kind of, well, I say this. I want to congratulate LaMelo Ball, first of all. LaMelo Ball was awarded today the Rookie of the Year in the NBA. And I could tell he was going to be a good player. I don't know if I said it here, but I would have loved for him to have fallen to the Hawks. And we could have possibly picked him up and had him playing with Trey. Can you imagine how exciting that would have been? Knowing what we know now, especially. You know what I'm saying? But I could tell that he was going to be a dope player. And you could tell that he was going to be a dope player if you've ever watched any of his highlights. If you've ever seen any of the things, like when the whole ball hype started happening, and all the focus was on Lonzo, and they were showing like some of the home gym and the home video footage of them in like the backyard, or them in at the AAU games, or them at the high school games. And you would always see Melo. And Melo would be this skinny kid with all the handles. And I'd be like, I want to see him. He's going to be the one. And he essentially, I think LeVar Ball even said that he was going to be the best brother. He was going to be the best Ball brother. And once again, salute to you, LeVar Ball, Happy Father's Day to LeVar Ball. Not just LeVar Ball, but to all the fathers out there. Happy Father's Day to you. But I send that special shout out to LeVar Ball because LeVar Ball was a visionary. Nobody else believed him. Everybody else thought he was full of shit. They told him he was full of shit. And he believed that his boys were going to go to the league. He has three sons, and his three sons were going to go to the league, and they were going to kill it. And for the most part, he was right on two out of three. They are in the league. Lonzo Ball is a good player. He's no scrub by any means. He may not be with the New Orleans Pelicans after this season, but he's going to be somewhere. He's going to be on a roster, and he's going to be on a roster getting paid because he's a good player. And then, like I said, LaMelo Ball is the rookie of the year. And I'll bring it back to LaMelo in the fact that there's an uproar in the fact that LaMelo won the award. And there's an uproar because, you know, a lot of people, especially here in Atlanta, we always believe in our own. And Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, could have very easily have been the recipient of this award. Like, if you're watching basketball and you just surface watching, you know what I'm saying? You're not really watching, but you're just watching like highlights in SportsCenter. You've seen Ant-Man posterize a couple guys. And if you only see like what they show on like SportsCenter or on the highlights and you think that's all to his game, it's not. The man was out here averaging 20 points a game as a rookie. So in the comparison, I'll say LaMelo has more of an all-around game. Like Melo came out and he averaged 15.7 points a game, 6 assists, 5 boards. Ant-Man was scoring right at like 19.3 points a game, 2.9 assists, so basically 3 assists, basically 5 rebounds. So they're close in the assists and rebounds. Melo has more assists. He has about 6 to Ant-Man's 3. Melo got hurt, and I think he broke his wrist. I had to have some wrist surgery. And so he wound up only playing like 51 games. But before he was injured, he was killing it, and he was one of the most exciting players in the league. And I think that's what won him the award. Ant-Man played all 72. And that's what a lot of the, you know, the fans, whether it's Minnesota, whether it's in Atlanta, that know and love Ant-Man, that's what they're contending. He played all 82 games. And if you look at the numbers, somebody put up on social media their numbers for the past 9 games, or for the last 9 games. And I think that might have been the when Melo came back, he returned from his injury. You know, the stats were leaning towards Ant-Man. But I say that to say that the league is going to be great in the hands of these two gentlemen. It's going to be dope. They're going to do phenomenal things, and we're going to watch them both for years to come, hoping that no one gets injured and, you know, or anything like that. But I think the entire league has a bright future. I think if this year's playoffs have shown you nothing else, it's shown you that the league is healthy. Yes, there's super teams. And karma is headed their way. It's going to, you know, it's doing what it's doing to them. With Kyrie getting injured, with James Harden being injured. That's happening. Because those are some of the things that you can't predict. That's why you don't play the games on paper. You can't just put some guys together and say, hey, that's not fair. How does he get to play with him and he get to play with him and blah, blah, blah. You have to play the games. You have to play the 82-game season, and then you have to play the series. But what's showing you is you don't have to have LeBron James in every NBA Finals every year for it to be exciting, for it to be entertaining. You don't have to have that. There's some young guns out here, man, that's basically ready to let the world know their names. They're ready to take the throne. if you out here and you watching, you see Donovan Mitchell doing his thing. In the first round, you saw Jason Tatum. We didn't get a chance to see Jaylen Brown due to injuries, and we'll get into some of the injury stuff a little later in the show. But you saw Jason Tatum. You didn't get a chance to see Jaylen Brown, like I said. Here in Atlanta, Trae Young is making a name for himself. People tried to trash Trae Young prior to this season because the Atlanta Hawks didn't get a chance to go to the bubble. They didn't get a chance to see what was going on nationally. Didn't get a chance to see what was going on here in Atlanta, here in State Farm Arena. But when Luka got a chance, and Luka's another one, when Luka got a chance to shine, he was in the bubble. Everybody went crazy, and it was Luka mania. He got compared to Larry Bird. He got compared to Dirk Nowitzki. He got compared to anyone and everyone that you can make that comparable to. And he's dope. Don't get me wrong. A lot of times I get blamed. I get, you know, tagged as a Luka hater, but I'm not a Luka hater. I think Luka is dope. I just think that there's a lot of people who have crowned Luka and who's giving him the title as like the next guy, that I think that they need to slow down. And it's happening. So I don't hate Luka. I'm just kind of tired of the Luka fans, if that makes any sense. You know what I'm saying? But Luka's dope. Ja Morant, we watched Ja Morant go crazy in Memphis. Devin Booker, we're still watching Book. And we're going to get a chance to watch Book do more, especially now that Chris Paul's situation has happened. And we'll get into Chris Paul's situation a little later also. I mentioned Luka. Zion. I'm in the same boat with Zion that I am with Luka. I think Zion is good. I'm not ready to crown him. But I am annoyed with all the fans who have basically said he's the next great. And he's good. He's good as hell. But how great he's going to be, let's let that play out. You know what I'm saying? So there are a number of people. There are a number of talented individuals. And these are just young guys that I'm talking about. Like, we know that, you know, KD is going to be KD. And KD did his thing last night. We know that KD is going to do that. We know what Dame is going to do. We know what Russ is going to do. We know what Bradley Beal is going to do. We know what these guys are. These guys are established in their stardom. We know what Anthony Davis is. You see what I'm saying? We know what Jimmy Butler, we know who these guys are. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to take that time to salute the young, up-and-coming stars of today's NBA, because more often than not, a lot of people come through and they'll talk down on the next generation. And the next generation is getting better and better every generation, to be honest with you. It's just that now it's on the coaches to take these young men and mold them and make them better basketball players.
Commissioner Gordon.
Hey, yo, Father's Day is around the corner. Are you ready for it? You not ready for Father's Day? What'd you get your dad? All right, well, check this out. I got you. If your dad enjoys a nice whiskey, go to your local beverage shop. Go up there, holler at him. Say, hey, I don't want some of these other brands. I want Greenwood whiskey. Point me in that direction. And they'll tell you where they have the Greenwood whiskey. And what I want you to do is go get not one, but two bottles of Greenwood whiskey. Because then, that way, when you get two bottles of Greenwood whiskey, you can give one to Pops. Bam! Happy Father's Day. And you keep one for yourself. So when you come home and you want to watch some games, and you want to watch your favorite show, you can pour up Greenwood whiskey. And Greenwood whiskey encourages you to celebrate life, to celebrate Juneteenth. Juneteenth is also coming up. What better way than to be out at the festivities than with a bottle of Greenwood Whiskey? Greenwood Whiskey encourages you to celebrate responsibly. Greenwood Whiskey, it's celebration whiskey.
Commissioner Gordon.
So I mentioned coaching. Yeah, today was the day that, I won't say it was Black Wednesday, but today was the day a couple coaches got chopped. Stan Van Gundy is out at New Orleans, and Scott Brooks basically come to agreement with Washington that he would no longer return also. So with that being said, now you have the Washington Wizards that coaching available. The New Orleans Pelicans spot is available. Terry Stotts is no longer at Portland, so the Blazers spot is available. We had that shift with Brad Stevens, and so the Celtics spot is available. The Pacers spot is available. I told you last week that they got rid of their coach. They're available. And the Orlando Magic spot is available. And it's kind of difficult to gauge, like, who should be where, because that's all the hot topics, like, who should be where and who should hire who. And to me, all of this stuff is about a fit. Because you can't just plug in a coach and say, okay, go take them there. Because all of these franchises are in different places. Orlando is not in the same situation as Boston. Right? Indiana ain't in the same situation as New Orleans. So it's about finding the best fit. And I'm not here to tell you who I think the best fit is, but I am here to tell you that, you know, there are some good coaches out there, and I would welcome the new blood of coaches. You know what I'm saying? We'll go over some of the new guys who may be on the market, who may be ready to take that step up from assistant to head coach. And why not? We have to talk about it because it's going to happen. We'll talk about the retreads. We'll talk about the guys who get recycled. Because some of these guys, Stan Van Gundy's, Scott Brooks, Terry Stotts, these guys aren't just going to go off into the sunset. They're going to look for more jobs. And teams are going to hire them. So we'll look at them and we'll talk about them for a second. But like I said, I wanted to go back to some of the teams. Like Portland. Portland is looking for that coach that gets them over the hump. They're not looking for a development guy. They're not looking for a culture coach. A guy who's coming in, he's going to put together a culture and, you know, build. They're looking for someone who can come in today and get us to the second round, to the Western Conference Finals, to the NBA Finals, to the championship. They want someone to make that push to where that we can be a championship contender, a serious championship contender. I think Boston is also in that same boat. Boston is also in that where we got some young stars and we've hit this ceiling. We've hit our head on this ceiling for so long that now we want to break through. We need a coach that's going to break us through this ceiling. And so we need someone who can not only work with Jalen and Jason, but he's also going to understand how to get the most out of the other guys. And so how he can make them better, how he can make them play beyond their expectations so that they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, so they can get into the NBA Finals, because they have the talent. And a lot of this talent isn't going anywhere. So many people want to speculate on who should be traded and who should be moved. I don't believe that Jason Tatum is going anywhere. I don't believe, because of the money that Kemba Walker is going anywhere. I don't believe that Jaylen Brown is going anywhere. Now, if anybody's going to be moved, it might be Jaylen Brown. But I don't believe that Boston believes that he has to be moved. Indiana is one of those places where I think the bar is set pretty low in terms of expectations. Would we like to win? Yeah, who wouldn't? Are we dying to win? Are we desperate to win? Not really. But what we do want to do is we don't want to be out here getting embarrassed. Indiana's a basketball state. It's basketball country. We need to be putting up, we need to be putting this team in the playoffs consistently, because that's what we do. We are playing basketball and we're in these playoffs consistently. We may not be the champ, but I damn sure guarantee you, if the champ's coming out the East, we're giving their ass all they can handle. And that's Indiana. So they're going to need that type of coach. This coach was fired in the first year because he did not make the playoffs. Now, he got in the play-in, but he didn't make the playoffs. Orlando, I talked about building culture. I talked about nurturing young players. Orlando is that spot. Orlando is in a place where they need to build. You got Cole Anthony there. You probably, if they get like a first-round pick, you're probably going to get like a Jalen Green. You're probably going to get like a Cade Cunningham. Jonathan Kuminga, one of these type guys, one of these young players that's going to work well with Cole Anthony, and you're going to start to develop. You're going to have to develop this talent and build. So that is going to, that's, like I said, that's a whole different element than what's going on in Indiana, than what's going on in Portland. So you're going to need that. In New Orleans, however, yes, you need someone to establish culture. Yes, you need someone to work with Zion and Brandon Ingram. And if you so happen to, I don't think they will, but if you so happen to keep Lonzo Ball, you need someone to work with those guys, but you need someone to come in with some consistency. Because what, Zion's been in the league 3 years? He's had three coaches? Brandon Ingram has had about three or four his damn self? Five, I don't know how many. So you're going to need to provide some consistency. You're going to need someone who's going to come in who's able to get their respect, because those are two pretty good young players who has the ability to get their respect, who knows how to talk to them, and who's going to get them to play above their head so that now they can reach playoff status, because that's the next level for them. They have to get into the playoffs, not the play-in, the playoffs. That's where they need to be. Washington Wizards, I mean, you're going to need someone who's going to demand more, because I think Washington has kind of tread water for a long time, man. Like, whether it was with John Wall and Bradley Beal, now it's Russ and Beal. And the only reason why Brooks isn't going to be there this year, it's not because they fired. That's not the reason. I think the reason was because they wanted to put him on a year-to-year contract type thing. They wanted to extend him for maybe a year, maybe two, and he wanted some long-term security, and they weren't down with the long-term security. So he said, you know what, I'll walk away, I'll find a job elsewhere. Because it's to my knowledge that Scott Brooks got along with Westbrook. They have history together. And clearly they got, and there wasn't an ego thing going along with Westbrook and Beal. These two guys complimented each other, at least on the surface, like body language on the court tells a lot. And you didn't see, you know, somebody's face balling up when Russ got this triple-double or Bradley Beal went crazy and scored 45 points or whatever. You didn't see the other guy, Slick Hayden, on the side. they were genuinely happy for each other. They genuinely respect each other, and they genuinely had a had each other's back. Because I remember that wasn't the case when John Wall was there. When John Wall was there, there was some low-key moments where there were shots taken when John Wall was injured and the team started playing well, and you asked some of the players, you know, what's the difference? How are you able to go on this run? And they took a quick jab and was like, oh, that's because all the guys on the floor like each other and we like sharing the ball. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Like, but we don't see any of that with Washington this season. As it plays out in the future, I don't know if any of that will develop, but I will say that Scott Brooks had a decent environment in terms of that locker room. But you're going to need a coach to come in and keep that consistency. And then you're going to have someone come in and kind of accent and spice up the court, because you might be losing a Rui Hachimura. You might be losing that dude. So you're going to need somebody to come in and compliment those guys and do what needs to be done. But you need to find that coach. They're in a different position, like I said, than Orlando, than New Orleans. I'm trying to think of anybody I'm missing. Boston. Boston, from what I've heard, Boston is trying to make a culture change. I think Boston is out here, and not just the franchise, but the entire city of Boston is basically trying to figure out, man, like, they need a culture change. All this stuff that Kyrie Irving pointed out and all these other players pointed out in terms of the racism in Boston, Boston has been hearing it for years because it's been true. But they've been hearing it for years, and they're kind of sick of it. So I think, from what I've heard and what I've gathered, that Boston is looking to hire a black coach. Now, hiring a black coach doesn't erase racism, right? Because he can get called a nigga in the stands like one of the players. So that's, you know, that is, but I'm hearing that is the direction that they're looking at. You know? So I'll start talking about some of the coaches. Like, if in that aspect, you could bring back Chauncey Billups. You know, Chauncey Billups played with, he's a star in the league. I think he had, you know, he came out, he's most known for being with Detroit and them winning the championship in Detroit. Played in Denver, in Boston. And he could possibly, you know, be one of those guys that turn him around. I also believe that Portland is giving a serious look at Chauncey. But yeah, Chauncey is one of those names that's going to be hot on the coaching market this offseason. Because, you know, he's been assistant for the Clippers this past season. And, you know, like I said, a lot of these guys have NBA experience. And so that garners the respect a lot of times of players, because it's hard to listen to someone tell you what to do when you look at them and you know damn well they can't do or could never do what they're telling you to do. Some other assistants that have also been players. You got Darvin Ham. He's with the Milwaukee Bucks. Darvin Ham played in the league. He's also been in the running for a few other head coaching jobs for the past couple seasons. He's been a hot name. Charles Lee for the Bucks is another hot name. Ime Udoka, I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, but he's a assistant for the Brooklyn Nets. He's a hot name. Jamal Mosley from Dallas Mavericks assistant. He's also a hot name. Jaren Collins. You know, he spent some time with Golden State as an assistant coach. He's looking to get into some head coaching. He should be one that you'll probably hear from also. My man Sam Cassell, he's currently on the bench with the 76ers. He's probably going to be a name that a lot of teams are going to look at and are going to listen to. So he can possibly fit in a lot of these places. Once again, he's another one of these guys who's going to get a lot of respect. Some of the names that have already had head coaching jobs are going to be, like I said, I talked about Terry Stotts earlier. I talked about Scott Brooks earlier. Those guys are going to, even Stan Van Gundy, he's not done. He'll get a job someplace else. It may not be this season. He may go back to, back to television. But he'll be back in the coaching before you know it. But I will say, I'm worried about our Atlanta Hawks, my Atlanta Hawks, because Nate McMillan right now is printing money. He's going to have a bidding war. If you don't believe that some of these GMs and team presidents have taken a look at what the hell has happened with the Hawks from the time Nate McMillan has taken over to today, you're fooling yourself. Nate McMillan is probably going to be the hottest thing on the market. And I wish the Hawks would have signed him to a long-term contract instead of being on this wait and see. But now we've waited and see and seen, and we like what we see, but so does everybody else. Jason Kidd is also a coach that, you know, he's had a cup of coffee and a head coaching job in a couple different spots. And at first it was rumored that Dame Lillard wanted him to be the coach out at out in Portland, but then some little shiesty stuff came out, and a lot of people around Portland started bringing up his past indiscretions and past issues. And respectfully, Jason Kidd saw the writing on the wall and decided, hey, I'll withdraw my name from that organization. Don't even consider me, because I'm not going through this. If something happens and you don't like what you're seeing on the basketball court, you're not going to start bringing up my past and my history as if that has anything to do with my coaching. Mike D'Antoni. Once Jason Kidd said he didn't want to do the Portland job, Mike D'Antoni jumped right up. I'll take it. But I don't think Mike D'Antoni is what they need, even though I believe they interviewed Mike D'Antoni. And if they haven't, I know they're going to interview him. So they're going through the process, and I believe that they've already, I want to say they interviewed him either Monday or Tuesday. But he's another one. And I think if he doesn't get the Indy in the Portland job, he's probably interested in Indiana. And I'm hearing him being a favorite in that aspect, of which may not be a bad gig for Mike D'Antoni. You know? But if I had to rank these jobs from least desirable to most desirable or most optimal, I would have to say number five for me would be Boston. And why I say Boston is the least desirable for me is because the expectations that are placed on the next head coach are going to be so heavy, so high, that it's going to be almost impossible to satisfy the fan base and the Boston media. Because they're not going to be satisfied with just making the playoffs. Because the last guy just made the playoffs, and before we got a chance to say that he's on the hot seat, he moved on to an executive seat. Portland Trail Blazers, for a similar reason. Number four would be the Portland Trail Blazers. Because we're not here to just get to the playoffs. It's damn near Western Conference Finals. If you don't get Western Conference Finals, then you failed as a coach. My number three job would be Indiana, because like I said, a lot of times Indiana is content with making the playoffs. If you go beyond the playoffs, they're cool with it. They like it. They're not going to stop you from succeeding. But if you consistently make the playoffs, you put a product on the floor that's rootable and the fans can get behind, you'll have a secure job. And then Orlando. I told you Orlando is looking for a coach that's putting together a culture that's developing young talent. And I think a coach who's a grassroots type of guy, who's not a microwave coach, would love to come in and, like I said, work with the young talent that would be in Orlando. You have a Cole Anthony already there who you drafted last season. You also are going to have a lottery pick, a top lottery pick this season. So you're going to have some talent, and you're going to accumulate that and build it. It's going to be up to you as the head coach to nurture that talent and to get that talent to the next level, which is going to be basically giving you, it's almost like granting you a five-year job, unless you just go in there and you piss off the crowd. You piss off the locker room. You piss off the GM and the ownership group. And so my most desirable job would probably be the New Orleans Pelicans. Because, A, they have that youth. They would be content with you making the playoffs. But you have an immense amount of talent, that the playoffs is a very attainable goal. Like, that's very attainable. So you have the talent. You're going to be given the time more than likely. And if you produce positive results, you're going to have the fan base on your side, because they don't really know success. What are they basing success off of? What has been successful in New Orleans basketball? All you got to do is make sure you keep Zion in the locker room. Make sure Zion doesn't get his eyes set on going to New York, LA, or Miami. Keeping in mind that you can offer him more money than anyone else. So, the New Orleans job, to me, for that reason, because of the talent, because of the fan base, because of the ceiling that's there, I think that's the most appealing job out of the six that are available today. My bad, I didn't include the Washington Wizards gig. But know that the Washington Wizards job is probably going to be somewhere between Portland and Indiana. So if I had to make it, 6 Boston, 5 Portland, 4 Wizards, 3 Indiana, 2 Orlando, and number 1 New Orleans.
Commissioner Gordon.
I mentioned to you earlier that Father's Day is right here. We're at it. Juneteenth is right here. We're at it and celebrating. What did you get your dad? Still don't know? I told you, I gave you a gift idea earlier and you still don't know? Well, I got another one for you. What you should do is contact my folks at 323 Custom Apparel. It might not be too late. If you slide him a couple bucks, he might put a rush order in for you. But you call my people at 323 Custom Apparel. And you say, okay, I got a picture of my pops. Can I put a picture of my pops on the shirt? And he'll hook you up. I got a picture of my mom. My pops might want a picture of my mom on the shirt. Or a picture of them as a couple. Or his favorite team. His favorite characters. Anything. You get creative with it. But when you talk to my people at 323 Custom Apparel, you make sure you know what you want. You know what pops want. And you present it to them. and they're going to give you a quality product that your dad is going to love and he's going to wear out, and he's going to tell everybody, look at what my child bought for me. So I encourage you to go out and go to 323 underscore custom underscore apparel and make your clothing your statement. Well, how about you make your father's clothing his statement? It's Father's Day, damn it. Look out for dad.
Commissioner Gordon.
So now here we are. I've talked to a bunch of, you know, people that are, while they love the playoffs, they're kind of angry at the playoffs also because of the injuries. And we've all grown up with, as the injuries are a part of the game. But are they ruining the playoffs? Like, are you sitting there angry because Kyrie's hurt? Are you sitting there angry because it's just come down that Kawhi Leonard is probably going to miss the rest of the series against the Utah Jazz with a knee sprain? They're calling it a knee sprain. I heard someone else say that there was an ACL sprain. I don't know, you know, how far to take that. But if it's anything to do with his ACL, and if you know Kawhi, like we've seen Kawhi before, Kawhi will take every precaution with his body and he'll sit his ass down. So that does change my outlook on on my predictions. So it does throw a lot of my stuff out the window. But like I said, Kyrie's hurt. He rolled his ankle. James Harden is injured, but he came out the other day and he tried to play with KD, and I think he basically looked like a decoy. He was dragging his leg up and down, and he never really kicked it into high speed. He stayed kind of, you know, second gear, and never really went full speed. Donovan Mitchell was fighting injuries. Joel Embiid is fighting injuries. He's talking about a torn meniscus, and you can see it sometimes, man. Like, sometimes in his movement, you know, he's fine, and sometimes you can see when he's been going up and down the court. A lot of people are trying to say that he's tired, and that may be too, but when he's up and down the court against the Atlanta Hawks, a lot of times you can see, you know, it may be wearing on him. But with the Atlanta Hawks too, the Atlanta Hawks are without DeAndre Hunter, who's a star player for them. I talked about Kawhi, but Serge Ibaka's been out for the Clippers with a back injury. Chris Paul has been playing through a shoulder injury, and now Chris Paul is going into the COVID protocol. That was another thing that I was, as I was trying to put the show together, that I was going to have all these other different stories. Chris Paul has gone through the COVID protocol. And yes, there's a whole big thing about how LeBron didn't have to do it, all this other stuff, and how the NBA is kind of showing favoritism. And I want to give credit to where it's due. I think it was my guy Fats, who we were all talking, and I think it was him, one of my boys, who said basically that Chris Paul getting COVID is the absolute most Chris Paul thing to have happened to Chris Paul, because he's snake bit like that. Like, he gets hurt. Like, you think they're going to the finals and he gets hurt. Or something, you know, something hinders him or hampers him from having the success that you imagine that Chris Paul is supposed to have. And now here we are, and he's probably going to miss at least one game. They said he's fully vaccinated, so he's probably going to only miss one game, hopefully. We also said many people would believe that the Lakers would probably still be in the postseason if LeBron and AD weren't injured. I don't know. I don't know what it would. I don't know how they would look. I don't know how Denver would look had Jamal Murray still been playing. You know, how much further could he and Nikola Jokic go? I don't know. And I get it. Like, it's not lost on me. I get it to the fact that this is supposed to be the time where you see the best of the best at their best. But it seems like this year, man, it's kind of like a Royal Rumble. And the last man standing is going to take the prize. He's going to take the trophy. But while the NBA numbers are up, because I don't want to make it seem like it's doom and gloom, the NBA numbers are up. People are watching basketball, and they're enjoying watching the basketball. They like what they see on the court. They just wish that they could see everything at optimal capacity. But I don't know if the NBA can afford to have another postseason like this. I don't know if you can afford to have another regular season like this. Like, I don't know if this can becomes a continual thing for the NBA. I don't know how much fans will invest. I mean, guys like me, I'll be here. Like I always tell you, I will watch I'll watch a group of 12-year-olds play basketball. If they know what they're doing, I ain't gonna watch just a bunch of, you know, scrubs play. But if they know what they're doing, I'll watch some kids play basketball. Done it before. But in my opinion, what the NBA needs to do, especially if they plan on going back, and I know they plan on going back to 82 games, what they basically need to do is they need to spread the season out. They need to get rid of these back-to-backs, back-to-back-to-backs, you know, 3 games and 4 and 5 nights. You go on the road trip, it might have 5 games in 7 nights or 5 games in 8 nights. You need to give the players some time to rest, man. Otherwise, you're going to, you know, have to accept that some of these teams are going to have load management. And then you're going to have to explain to the fans why it is that they bought this ticket for them and their family of 3 or 4, and they paid $500, $600, $700 to get here and watch the Clippers, let's say, and Kawhi Leonard is in street clothes. The Lakers are in town. Anthony Davis is in street clothes. And then you have to have the angry social media messages. You'll have the angry emails. You'll have the angry guy go on. You're going to have to eat that. So this year, there were 72 games. And in those 72 games, the season started in, I think it was around December 22nd, right before Christmas. And I think, if I'm correct, the NBA Finals are set to take place. They'll kick off about mid-July, and I think end in late July, you know. And that's with 72 games. But if you're going to have a normal season, or you're going to space these games out like I want, I'll tell you this, a normal season usually starts in late October. So it's usually like October 20th, October 25th, somewhere around there. And then they usually have the finals ending in about mid-June. So typically, right about now is when we'd be watching the NBA Finals. We'd either be watching the NBA Finals or we'd be gearing up to watch the NBA Finals. But what I'm proposing is they start in October like normal, but then they would end in late July like this season. Now, I know what you're thinking is, okay, you're saying if a team is making a deep run in the playoffs, that doesn't give them time to heal. That doesn't give them time to rest. But what that does is that spaces out the games and the spaces out the time in between games. Because what you're looking at right now is you're looking at players who are going on the road and they play a game tonight in Dallas. And then they fly out in the morning and they play another game tomorrow morning in Houston. And then they fly to Phoenix, Arizona, and they play another game in Phoenix. And they're doing this. Like I said, you're going back to back to back. Or you're doing it with maybe a day in between. And that's the travel. You're doing that. That's a travel day. So you play the game. You go to the hotel. You get some sleep. You wake up. You fly out. You touch down, you have a walkthrough, you get some sleep, you wake up, you play a game. It's not rest. What I'm proposing is stretching this thing out to give you rest so that that ankle can heal, that back can heal, those hamstrings can heal. And you don't have this widespread, massive infirmary that it sounds like with the NBA. But from what I can tell, I think I looked it up on NBA.com. The league just plans to go back to business as usual. They're going to go back to the October opening and the June closing. And whatever happens, happens. Injuries are a part of the game, right? So, I have to excuse myself from my predictions. I made the prediction of the finals being the Clippers and the Nets. That's without knowing Kyrie Irving's ankle would roll and basically roll over and touch the floor. That's without knowing that Kawhi Leonard would come out here and suffer a knee injury. So we'll see how the season goes. But maybe next week, and no, maybe I'll say it. Next week I'll come out and I'll be ready to, after making another assessment, I'll be ready to make a bold prediction on who not only will be in the finals, but who I believe will win it all. Hey man, yes, I thank you. I thank you for tuning in. I thank you for being a part of today's show. Like I said earlier, I like to dedicate this. I am dedicating this to my Uncle Robert, my Uncle Rip. And I thank you for listening to me earlier as I kind of, you know, got some of the things out about me and my relationship with him and how that, you know. So I appreciate you for tuning in. I appreciate you for checking me out on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. That's the.commissioner.gordon. I appreciate you for tuning in on YouTube. You go in YouTube, you type in the Commissioner's Conversation, and I've had referees on there. We talk basketball and how the game is officiated. Shouts out to Cedric Shepherd. I've had Sam Crenshaw on there, who's telling you phenomenal stories about the history of certain games. I've had Hugh Douglas on there. We talked football. I've had JR Sport Brief on there. Check it out. Once again, like I said, you go in, you type in the Commissioner's Conversation. You may have to scroll a little bit to see me, but when you find me, you lock it in, you subscribe, and you enjoy yourself. But again, I thank you for tuning in to all of that, and I'd like to tell you, I will see you next week. I'll holler.
Okay, bye.